It's Charizard. It's my LA girl boys. It's Charizard, Susan, and Dinah. We are in the studio for part two with Dinah, hey, co-founder of Health Aid. And we're really excited. We were like so deep in conversation with the first episode that we were doing that we didn't realize it was like 50 minutes of just juicy combo. So we're going to continue this. And because we haven't even talked to Dinah about
being a boss
and a mom and running a fucking business.
Like, oh my gosh, you're growing so much. If you guys did not listen to last week's episode, Dinah is one of the co-founders and CEO of Health Aid, which is
the best kombucha in the world.
I mean, is it the most successful? Product? Also, I want to say it is.
If we're not going to define successful, let's say yes.
Yeah. I just saw one of the top kombuchas. Yeah, like you, I saw on Instagram, like you guys have your is this your third brewery?
Oh, I know.
It's actually our fifth brewery. I was just saying that 3 years ago, I would have looked ahead and said, this is it's three times what we have now.
So. And you, Susan, you and I, we remember when we went to
the
brewery?
We did a little tour.
Yeah. So it's right next
door. You turned me. Yeah, you turned me.
I remember you came in not sure if you liked me. And I'm like, oh, this bitch is like my best friend soon. Yeah. You're like, hey.
And I was like, I kind of like her.
You're like, oh, she said fuck. She's cool. That's my favorite F word.
Yeah.
Fuck. Anyway, so yes. Also, I want to plug Booch Pop real quick. We have a code. If you go to healthaid.com for 20% off, you can use our code FAM20 and try Booch Pop. It's so good. It's a fabulous alternative to soda. The can is cute. It's amazing.
It is. It's a gateway to kombucha. If you've ever been afraid or something to drink kombucha, you think it's too much or too healthy or something, this is meant to be that sort of entry level healthy soda so you can feel good about drinking.
I love it.
I love the original too. I love all the flavors. I currently have a cayenne cleanse in my purse.
Of course, the kombucha is awesome.
I love it. Love it. Love it. So yeah, FAM20 is the code if you guys want to try it, which I suggest you do, and you can deliver to people's homes.
Yeah. 24 hours.
I had a Health Aid truck pull up the other day and I was like so excited about it. Nice. Anyway, I'm special though. So that's why that happened.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Very cool. If you guys didn't listen to the last episode, Dinah talked about her second birth experience, which is a very interesting experience because she did an at-home birth. And then, you know, there were some like pros and cons to it. And I think there's a lot of learning lessons from it. So I do encourage you to listen to that. But we were talking about we ended the episode on Dinah saying, why does birth have to be so traumatic? And I think people forget about this, you know, like they forget that. I think all the time what I see constantly in our Facebook group and in other, like when I read the comments of like mom videos and stuff, there are so many women that are, and I know why they're doing it. They're trying to encourage you and trying to like give you strength and like show like spirit and like community with you and stuff. And they're like, our bodies were meant to do this. Like, you've got this, right? But I think the part that they always seem to forget, and it's totally fine to acknowledge it, is that women died.
Oh yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
A lot. Mm-hmm. Like back in the day before like health, you know, like medical intervention, women were also put in danger. And like I think Mother Nature, like if we, you know, like you don't want to think of it this way, but like, you know, you brought up in our last episode that it was supposed to be a community experience. Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be a community experience, and if mom didn't make it, that's okay, cuz there's like seven aunts that can take over with the baby, right? And I think that like we don't want to
accept that.
Yeah. Like it's a little bit scary. It makes it scarier to think about that.
Well, we might have been the people that died since we had C-sections too.
Exactly. We might not have made it. Yeah. Or
my baby wouldn't have made it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like modern medicine.
Yeah, yeah. Modern medicine has really, really changed things. And so I think when people get really scared of modern medicine, you know, like you did it like a really interesting and smart way where you had like the tandem, you know, like the medical check-ins and all that kind of stuff with your midwife and everything. And I think that's kind of the way to do it. Like there's nothing wrong with wanting to give birth at home and do that kind of stuff, but do it in a smart way, right? And know that like you have to have your options and stuff and not be scared of the hospital. Cause I think that's what happens is a lot of women are like, you know, and this kind of came up because I was like joking that my doctor, you know, when you hear all these women be like, your doctors are going to try to make money off of you and try to talk you into a C-section. And that came from that documentary by Ricky Lake, The Business of Being Born.
I watched that.
Like there are some truth to it, but like if you're going to a good hospital and a good doctor, they're not going to tell you that. My doctor was like, I don't want you to have a planned C-section your first birth. Like you need to, you're not high risk anymore. Like you've gone through your pregnancy perfectly healthy. You can pop out a baby. Yeah. Like chances are you can pop out a baby. your body was born to do this, like that kind of thing. And so it's like, you know, you have to remember, like, a good doctor won't try to talk you into a C-section.
Yeah.
And if you do have a C-section, it's because you need it to, because it was medical intervention. You know? So,
well,
yeah.
Switching gears.
So I don't think it was meant to be that beautiful. Yeah. So wait, Dinah, okay, so you have two kids.
Two kids.
Boys.
Two boys, 5 and 1.
5 and 1.
Yeah.
Charizard. Two kids.
Yeah. You know, Hendrix, her oldest 5-year-old, like, plays so well with my kids.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's the perfect age in between my boys.
That's true.
Which is like a right really special thing that we've had, because I feel like we've sort of potted together. Is that like a new COVID word? Like, our families have hung out. And so, and I remember the first time we hadn't seen each other for a few months. And then we finally were like, fuck it, we're not sick. Like, let's see each other. We're going insane, and our kids need, like, to see other kids. And they just played so well together.
Yeah.
And like, there's been times where I've seen Idris and Hendrix play, like, perfectly, the two of them. And then Hendrix will switch and play perfectly with Cyrus, and then they'll play together. And it's just, like, a really nice little melding of boys.
It.
And, yeah, so we're boy moms, you know? Yeah, rough and tough.
Yeah.
But, yeah, how the fuck are you on, like, a work life
how do you do it
balance?
Two because boys and you're one that just basically turned one not too long ago, and you're crushing the
game.
I mean,
I'm so impressed by you. You're building a massive I mean, you built and continue to build a massive beverage brand.
I really appreciate that. For sure. You know,
and you're so
maybe on
fun.
The outside, I am pretty awesome.
You're so fun. You're fun.
It's fucking hard. I don't know. Like, I was in tears today twice. You know, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I mean, every day.
Yeah.
It's not glamorous.
Right.
You know, trying to do this all. I find, like, I have this calling to start Health Aid and really to start a business. To me, I'm passionate about business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why I started Health Aid. It wasn't like I dreamed of being the kombucha queen.
Yeah.
I made a really good kombucha, but I really started Health Aid because I wanted to start a company I could be proud of, and a business that would make a mark and, like, acquire wealth for myself, disconnect my need to my parents for, you know, financial need to my parents. Like, these were the things that drove me.
Yeah.
That was pre-kids, you know? Yeah. And then in an experience, you know, along the way, I kind of recognized that I wanted children. That wasn't even clear to me in the beginning of Health Aid, which, by the way, we started 8 years ago. So then I throw the kids into the mix, and that introduced a new challenge. Pros and cons, for sure. But I would say mostly pros to the business, like, which we can get into. But, like, I guess overall, how do I do it? It's definitely a day-by-day thing. I've learned a lot how to survive taking on so much. And it's not like I'm superwoman. It's not correct. The sort of way that I get around it is I delegate everything that can be delegated.
Yeah.
That I want to delegate. So, and I totally recognize that a lot of this is a privilege, and I feel very grateful for this. So I just want to start off by saying, you know, I have a nanny that works 40 hours a week for me. She comes for 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
She does my laundry. She cooks dinner for the family. So, like, that's now off my plate.
Yep.
So it's not like I'm also cooking up a storm for my kids at home or something like that.
Right.
And that's an important thing to distinguish. And even, like, my marketing team sometimes will be like, we want to see you cook and stuff. And I often don't want to do that because I'm like, well, I don't want to give off this impression that I somehow am doing it all, because it's a really unfair expectation to, you know, share,
mom,
I think.
Yeah.
So things like that I delegate. I also have really hard boundaries. So in terms of time, I'm at work now from pretty much 8:30 to 5, period. It's very, very, it's got to be a really extenuating circumstance for me to be on the phone with you or in a meeting outside of those hours, because the rest is sort of family time. I have one day a month where I take off just for myself, completely not with the kids, myself. That's when I get
my... I need that day.
Yeah.
I haven't implemented that.
You do need that day.
That's huge. Yeah. It's so awesome. You can go to the Korean spa, not now.
eventually.
Sometime soon. Go get a massage, not now. Sometime soon. Get your hair done, not now. So
it's like, if you admit to getting anything done, somebody's going to come at you with a torch and be like, you're spreading a disease. You should fucking die at the cross.
Well, you can come over to my house and I'll cut your hair.
Thank you for doing that.
But it's a really huge day. And then another thing I do is I take one day every other week. So 2 days a month to be at home with the kids.
Nice.
So I'm essentially building vacation time into my schedule that is not for vacation.
Right.
And I do that because it's important for me to feel like a good mom. And I wasn't getting that at the beginning of Health Aid when I had Hendrix. It was like all Health Aid. And then it was just like, do the work to put the kid to bed.
Yeah.
And you only had the weekends. So that was huge for me, building that in. It was such a scary thing to do in the beginning. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't take 2 days away from the business a month. But in the end, it's obviously not a big deal. And when they're napping, you can do some emails. Like it ends up being like kind of a third of the day you're working anyway. So it's really not that big of a deal. And the company completely was fine for it. In fact, better for it because I'm happier.
Right.
So yeah, it's boundaries. It's setting enough time for me. The workout thing I have definitely struggled with. I try, but it's definitely about carving the time in. Mm-hmm. I'm just a lazy motherfucker and that time gets to me and I'm like, you know, I do have to buy some things on Amazon. I'll just do that instead. Not all the time.
Well, it's especially hard to carve anything in now, I feel like, because nothing is, I mean, most stuff isn't open. I am not motivated to work out at home.
Yeah.
I tried. I hated it. I hate it. So just don't do it.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you hate it, don't get it in right now. This is not the time to do things that you hate.
Totally.
I agree.
Yeah. So it's not like there is no work-life balance. It's really more about, well, I guess the balance exists. I'll tell you this. I did not have balance in the very early years where I was, my whole identity was wrapped up in Health Aid.
Yeah.
It was like, I didn't know where one started and ended.
Yeah.
And so if we were having a good week in sales, I was feeling good.
Yeah.
Bad week, I was feeling like I needed to jump off a cliff. And that was not a good way to live. And then in particular, when the baby was born, that was really apparent to me that like now I had this other thing. And then, wait, what about me? And then what about my husband?
Ah. Who's also a co-founder, by the way.
Yeah.
So you guys are in this.
Like with wrapped up in it.
Yeah. You have another third one too. But
yeah. So it's really just been about disciplined. Actually, you know what? The whole thing carves down to carving out time in the calendar for what you want and need. And it can't all be, you know, what you feed grows.
Right. Totally.
And what you don't feed will die.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to do a lot of things like start a business or run a business or build up your career and have a healthy marriage and a, you know, be and look good and be a good mom, that means some other things can't happen. So you can't also then cook dinner probably all the time. You also probably can't see some of those people that like you like and you want to develop a friendship with.
Right.
But like, why have that play date? I mean, there are so many play dates now I say no to. I feel bad. I like the people a lot. But I'm just like, I don't have time for that. I can't add another thing now I have to do.
Right.
You know?
Oh, I'm so, like, I'm like in this right now. Like, oh, I feel very like unbalanced right now.
Uh-huh. I feel unbalanced too now. I just want you to know, like, that's why I was saying it's like a journey. I've gone, it's like two steps forward, one step back. I definitely have been like last night I was totally crying. I'm like, I am not balanced right now. I don't know what the fuck this is. And then I was started to think like, what brings me joy? Going on vacation.
Yeah.
Adventure, dinner with friends, going out to dinner, hair, like style, fashion, these things. Something about Instagram lately is bringing me down.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling and then I'm like, oh, I feel bad about myself somehow. I don't know exactly what that is.
Yep.
But like a lot of these things that brought me joy are now like out of sort of reach a little. And I got to recalibrate, I guess, and find joy in some other things. Obviously, I love my kids and I find joy in my kids. It's not, I'm not like a...
No,
but there's like something. So anyway, it's not a perfect system. I'm glad you guys think I'm crushing it. But the truth is, it's hard. It is doable and it requires a lot of discipline and sacrifice.
Yeah.
But I definitely do feel like a good mom. I do. I do feel
you
like a good wife.
Fabulous mom.
And I feel like a good CEO. So I've succeeded at like building that. It didn't just happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
It'll continue to be something that you work on forever.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, are things that we will be working on forever. Our relationship with our thoughts, our carving out time for ourselves. That's something that I think is just a lifelong thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and nobody ever. And it changes. I mean, we're in the weirdest season of probably all of our lives. And I feel like, you know, for me, I get so much joy from seeing my friends. And that's been so limited for me. I mean, luckily I get this outlet and I've been able to quarantine with you a little bit, Dinah, but that's what feeds my soul. Like there's, you know, people who get really recharged by reading a book in a quiet mm-hmm. place. And I love that too. I love that. But I am somebody who's fueled up by conversations mm-hmm. with girlfriends, with wine, food, being out, you know, at nighttime. And mm-hmm. I mean, so those things are all gone right now mm-hmm. for the most part. I mean, I guess people are going out here and there, but yeah, it just doesn't feel the same. Mm-hmm. somebody's going to yell. I mean, also like, Tensions are high.
No one actually shares.
There's lots of judgment.
No one, I suspect no one shares what they're actually doing.
Oh, for sure, for mm-hmm. fear of judgment. Yes. Because there is so much judgment. I think I was talking about this with maybe both of you separately, but I've seen people taking photos on Instagram of somebody like sitting out in nature without a mask on and publicly shaming them.
I know. That's so weird.
You don't know the context of this, and why is it okay to publicly shame somebody?
And why can't they be out in nature? Go, like, don't get so close to them. What?
Yeah,
if it bothers you, you step away.
I know, and I just don't understand. And like Susan and I were talking about this before, the amount of tension that is mm-hmm. in the air, and I don't really do that much anymore. You know, it's like grocery store. Blah, blah, blah. Little stupid shit here and there.
Liquor store three times a day.
Liquor store every day. Do you have any bourbon? No, we're fully stocked.
I know.
Bourbon in our house.
Lucky seven.
But, you know, it just feels like no matter what you do, somebody's going to be fucking pissed at you and hate your guts. And
I hate that. I hate that whole culture of shaming and judgment, and like thinking that you know better. Because no offense, like, even though... I don't know. They might have a very good reason for doing what they're doing. And
maybe
they
have like 6 months to live and they want to breathe fresh air in the park for their last remaining days or something. I mean, whatever. But the idea that people, I just think that that is sucking our soul to see the shame and the anger and knowing that people have lost their jobs and, you know, all this stuff mm-hmm. is just building up and making people a little bit depressed.
Well, I mean, running a business, I can sort of imagine like some of the stuff that you're going through running
a business.
It's been
such a challenge.
Yeah, like, how are you keeping morale up and stuff during this like super fucked up time?
Yeah. So so to give you just a level set a bit, we've got 200 employees.
Dang.
We're based in Torrance. It's vertically integrated. So we have manufacturing in-house. So we have like a brewery.
Yeah.
And that brewery, in order for our business to be open, I have to keep making kombucha. So that brewery remains open. It's essential too, because it supports grocery. Right. Yeah. It's food. So that's a privilege. Okay. Right. First, I want to open by saying it's a privilege to have an open business. Like, I didn't see that as a, as a negative at all.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, wow, am I lucky that I picked this industry?
Right.
Because otherwise we would have had to close our doors probably after being like closed for 2 weeks.
Yeah. All of our we've definitely seen some businesses go away.
I mean, Michael. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like
25
life
years
dreams,
in business,
you know,
and
just
then
boom,
gone.
Like that as quick as you could. I mean, wow. So obviously managing our manufacturing site, especially in the beginning, was a really challenging time because there was no protocol from the FDA.
Right.
There was no guidebook. You know, everybody was figuring it out.
Right.
And that was really, really challenging. Like that was one of the times that I like was on the phone after 5 o'clock every day. And it was just figuring out like, what do we do? What is the information? What's false news? What's correct? What do we do to protect our employees and our product? And there was so much unknown about COVID at the time. Like, does it travel through food? Is it, you know?
Yeah.
All this stuff. So that was a really big challenge. And then on the flip side, I had 50% of my workforce that worked on site, but not because they had to.
Right.
So that was our office.
Right.
So technically they could work from home, but we had never asked them to do that. So all the capabilities a company requires at that level for people like tech wise and stuff to be able to like connect to the internet and like, you know.
And it's not just, it's like if you have like shoddy Wi-Fi at home, like it's not going to work right now. Like you need the best.
Yeah. No, I'm feeling you there. I'm staying at my parents right now. They have satellite internet.
Oh, no.
Yes. Let's say no more. Exactly. Let's just say we have downloaded movies and that's all we watch.
Yeah.
We downloaded them on other people's internet and then went back to my parents'
house. Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, it's been a really big challenge. And then from a business revenue standpoint, you know, obviously consumers have really changed how they've behaved. And everybody's been, I call it sports centering. They've been, you know, having conversations about what they think is going to happen, mm-hmm. but nobody fucking knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, it was like, oh, you know, this is going to happen and the world's going to end. And then, of course, it doesn't end. And then this other thing happens. And I just think we waste our time sometimes when we do that stuff. You know, on SportsCenter, what I particularly hate is like the guy who throws the game winning pass or something or shot. Like, what were you thinking? He's like, you know, I really want to get that ball in the hoop. You know, I'm like, no fucking shit. What do you think? It's a dumb question.
This episode of FAM is brought to you by Noom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you guys, we've talked about Noom before. And one of the things I really like about Noom is that it's a habit-changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses.
Yep.
What's great about Noom is that there's no good or bad food. No food is off limits. Noom teaches moderation. And, you know, what I also love is that it can be used in conjunction with any other sort of diets or plans that you're on.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people don't realize that if you want to lose weight, it's not just about exercising. And I've fallen down that path before. It's not just about exercising. You have to get a better relationship with food. If you have a hard time with that, like I do, then you're going to love Noom because it really helps you in a psychological way. It really helps you just with 10 minutes a day. It really helps your relationship with food. And it's hard to explain it without you actually using the app. But to give you an example, it just will ask you a series of questions, for instance, in the beginning. And then it'll, you know, like in asking you those questions, it's really giving you this like ability to think about what you're doing and what you're eating.
A little bit more insight into your relationship with food, too, which I think is good. The good thing about Noom is that if you go off track, there's no shame. They're just going to provide tips to get you back on track tomorrow.
Yep.
So you don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/fam.
What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/fam to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/fam.
You know, it was a challenge. We were hit a little bit from a consumer standpoint, like revenues went down probably like 10%, which is pretty important for a company our size because everything
matters.
There's no like profits, you know, so it's like everything matters.
And you have goals that you're supposed to hit, right?
Yes, so, and I have stakeholders and boards. Yeah. The first tiers came from a board conversation today, by the way, where they're trying to take some of my equity again. But anyway, it's fine. It's part of my life.
Damn the man.
Damn the man. 8 of them to be exact. So, you know, all in all, I think there are 3 types of companies. Companies that were like target hit, you know, battleship down. Companies that were slightly hit but could survive or were like wounded. And then ones that benefited. We were definitely in the middle.
Yeah.
So not too bad. We're going to make it through. We didn't have to do layoffs. I was able to work around some budget stuff with that. You know,
congrats, man.
I think we're
going to
get through
huge.
It. And now we're seeing that kombucha is actually like growing because people are seeing that it has, I think, like it's good for you. It's got some immunity benefits.
Right. And everybody's all about immunity stuff right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're seeing like a little bit more consumer going up. So I think we're going to be okay.
Good.
You know, but it was for
you're
sure
going to be
most
okay.
challenging year of being a CEO. No question.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
And then, you know, there's the kid thing. Like your kids are not at home. So you're working from home as a CEO trying to run this thing. And your kid's like, Mom, can I have some carrots? And you're like, what the? Sorry, hold on.
Eight men
in the boardroom.
Yeah.
You know? Like, so it's really, that's been
my
really crazy.
My kid's busting in on Zoom meetings, roaring like a dinosaur. And I'm like, sorry, guys.
Yeah.
Little dinosaur over here.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, have you found that people are pretty like understanding
of
that?
That's what I was just going to say. Because everybody's in this boat right now.
Yeah.
Like 8 men in the boardroom, I'm sure some of them have kids.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And they laugh and stuff.
Yeah. And it makes people more human, right? Mm-hmm. They're getting a little taste of what you're experiencing on your end. You know, when people see you in the office, they're seeing, you know, CEO or whatever office personality somebody has.
But people think it's like life is so glamorous. They forget, especially when you're a mom, like the things that you're going through, like you have to put on your big girl pants and still make this shit work. Go deal with the board that you're going to like, that are going to give you doomsday information and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you have to still be like, no, and stand your ground and whatever it is. But they don't know that you might go home. I'll give you an example. I had fierce diarrhea for 2 days. Okay, you guys, last week. I don't know. COVID. I don't know. Okay. Not a symptom. That's like something I find people say all the time. Not a symptom.
Oh my God. Anytime like Idris has allergies and he sneezes, I will loudly say, allergies!
Yeah, exactly. Like you're just like, not a symptom. So I don't know what it was I ate, but I was like a wreck. Isla was sleep trained and then just decided to not be sleep trained anymore and like has been all week. Like just going, like waking up at like, it's actually getting earlier, progressively getting earlier and earlier. Like she will sleep all her naps all day and then she'll wake up at like 10:30, 11 o'clock ish. And she needs me to be in there with her, like soothe her, all this. I try to put her back in her crib and she wakes up and she's raging. And you cannot like she's not like okay with you just like letting her be and then going to sleep.
I'm
she's
so
not.
Sorry.
It's okay. So I was telling my business partner, I was like, oh, he's like, why are you so tired? I'm like, well, so I slept on the floor last night. And he's like, why'd you sleep on the floor? Like, people can't fathom, like, why? And I'm like,
except for moms.
Except
moms
for moms.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, been there.
Yeah. And he's like, why'd you sleep on the floor? And I'm like, well, okay. So I got Isla to finally fall asleep. She was on the bed. I didn't want to move at all, but I had like this fierce diarrhea. Oh my God. I knew I'd be like kind of moving, like even if it's like just uncomfortable moving. And so I was like telling him that I was like kind of like stiff like this in the bed next to her. And I was like, I'm just going to get out of the bed. And if I get out of the bed successfully without waking her up, I'm not getting back in this bed. So then I like lay on the floor next to her on the bed because I left her on a bed and now she's like moving all over the place if she wakes up. So she'd fall right off the bed.
Yeah.
So it's like I lay on the floor. I'm just like laying there. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I guess I'm not going to fall asleep because I'm on the floor. Yeah. And then I, you know, like this is what my night like has been for like a few days kind of situation. And then but you get back up and you have to start your day and you still have to do all the shit that you're supposed to do. And people have no idea like how you're that you're dealing with this stuff.
But moms in particular, I mean, I know there are probably extenuating circumstances for guys to be in this situation. So power to you, whatever.
Yeah. Like single dads and all that stuff.
Yeah. But there are so many instances at work where being a mom, and we talked about one of the ones, I had like a miscarriage at work. Remember that? When I was like trying to sell the company at the same time. Didn't end up happening. But like, that was a moment where I was like, God, man, being a mom sometimes at work is so hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
I try to have my co-founder, Vanessa, just had a baby.
Oh, wow. Congrats
to
Vanessa.
She came back yesterday to work.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's her first. So I know she's going through all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be like as supportive as possible. And I'm like, you know, just calling her and stuff. But like, I just feel like the more we can support, you know, moms at work more than just normal employees because they're going through something.
Oh, yeah.
The sleep piece, like, how are you expected to be? But I mean, it's not even the business's fault either. It just is what it is.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. Like,
it's not like you want to expect less of the person.
Right.
You almost just have to be flexible. Like if they're like, I got to go home. Yeah. You know, you can't be like, just don't be a dick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Totally.
I actually find, yeah, like with one of the first employee I ever had that went out on maternity leave, I was like shitting bricks because I'm like, really? Like, you're going to go, like,
we talked about this. I remember.
Like, oh God, what am I going to do? Like, is she going to come back? Yeah. Like, is she coming back? No, I had Nikosh. It was like, but it was like that first year of it. And I was like, oh, like, I know how fucked up I was. So is she going to be all fucked up and then like can't come back? And, you know, like when it's your own business, of course you're coming back, but everybody else they have the right to just leave and never come back. Right.
Yeah.
So I was like going through all of this in my head. And then I was like, I need to just support.
Yeah.
Be supportive of like her decisions and what she does and hopefully that encourages her to come back. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we did it. And sure enough, boom, she came back. It took her a second. I was still like, is she coming back? Yeah. Like 2 months kind of passed. And then she did come back. Once she got her groove, she really got her groove. She's on second baby. And then I was going to give her like 8 weeks if she wanted. She like contacted me at like the 4 or 5 week mark. She's like, I'm pretty much ready to come back. She's like, I need to start working again.
Man.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's one of those things like it might feel hard to go with them, like through it with them in the beginning. But when you support a mom and you show them that they're important and you want them to succeed at both things, having job and having baby, I think they really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
It just takes getting into your groove.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that's the only way to get, you know, we talk about like diversity at the top, gender diversity at the top. I think the only way to make that happen in my opinion, is to make it doable.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because otherwise you're making a woman make a very difficult ultimatum decision,
right? Yep.
Of, well, either I can be a CEO or have kids. And I think it's important for me to share it is doable. You can totally do it. You
might be bonkers.
You can't do it all.
Right.
That's all. So yeah. I find the people who are really stressed out all the time are the ones that are trying to work and, you know, take care of the kids at the same time.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that doesn't work.
I know.
That totally doesn't work. Especially if you're also the teacher now.
Yep.
I will say one thing about maternity leave that I've noticed. And, you know, where I sit now in the company, I manage the chiefs and I manage one VP. So I'm managing people who manage departments. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a different level type of person.
Yep.
However, in the three instances where someone in this space has gone on maternity leave, they have come back and it has been better for the business.
Yeah.
So there's that 3 month challenge where they're gone. And it's really more than that, because let's be honest, that month before they have a baby,
they're checked out.
Yeah. I mean, and they're doing their best they can, but like, you know, and there's a lot of like doctor visits and maybe they dealt with infertility. So there's like time.
There's
definitely like a cost to the business. Okay, fine. But those 3 months, the business figures out how to operate without that individual.
Yep.
And especially at the chief level, it's not as simple as like hiring a finance officer for hire. It's usually that you have to introduce systems, processes, you know, buy technology, whatever, to make it work while they're gone. So when they come back, you kind of got 90% of what they were doing down.
Right.
So that now means you just got an A player back.
Right.
With 90% bandwidth.
Right. That's true.
And so it's like the worst thing I think you could do if you're running a business is put that person in the same exact job that they did before.
Smart.
It's like, okay, no. All this stuff that we figured out, like, don't do now. Okay. Yeah. Maybe there's 10% you have to do.
Yeah.
But 90%. So Vanessa came down and I'm like, you're my fucking growth bitch.
Yeah.
You're my growth bitch. I'm like, somebody's already managing your employees.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk one-on-one with them. Like, your only job is to bring your rainmaker sensation to the business. I want you to, you know, make sure that marketing and e-com and sales is like connected and getting on top of things. And she's like, oh my God, I love this.
Oh, so fun.
And so
fun.
It's like
so
this
smart.
It's like we're going to benefit from her having been on maternity leave.
Yeah.
Right.
That's such a great way to think of it, because I have heard way too many friends who say, and they're like top of their game, like they are VPs at their jobs and all that kind of stuff. They go off on maternity leave. They feel like they've been supported this whole time and they're even pumped that they're getting this like 3 to 4 to maybe even 6 month maternity leave. But then they come back and they feel like the third wheel.
Useless almost, right?
Like they're kind of like everyone's treating them like, why are you here? They feel like they've been demoted in some ways and they don't really know what their position is anymore, or if they even want to, if like they're even wanted at the company.
Sucks.
I have heard this way too many times.
Interesting. I wonder what the difference is. It might be that I'm also a mom and the CEO.
Yes,
so
definitely.
It's like
I think that is
kind of energy is coming from the top.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I did start her first day back, like a full chief meeting where I'm like introducing our new growth officer, you know?
Nice.
So maybe that's what is missing there. But I do think if more businesses could see it that way, we would all just benefit so much more, because she's happier this way and the business will benefit.
Like, and everybody wants to feel good about what they're doing and contributing, especially a co-founder. She wants to feel like, I can come back and crush this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes more moms in big positions of power
for
it to trickle down so that other moms along the way are supported.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not an entrepreneur, so I don't know how to do that, but I'm glad you guys are. So go ahead and keep paving the way, ladies.
But right now, especially, every mom really understands the conflicting priorities, the, you know, endless things to do. And even though it may seem like being a CEO is a big one, and it is, it's still no different in exercise. It's still discipline. It's still carving out time. It's still figuring out what your priorities are, feeding what you want to grow. And then starving what you don't need to grow. You know, like it is the same thing. I mean, because I talked to you about your challenges, right? I mean, you've got two kids who like you can't even. I mean, is Idris going to go to school?
Yeah.
Good.
Don't hate me, people.
Well, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I will just fully share with you at least that they can hate me, too. My son goes to school.
Yeah. And, you know, we're in a very lucky little situation where we're in a pod that's following the curriculum of the school district that we're in.
Yeah, and they've got protocols.
And we have to, you know, pay for it. And it's really safe and we trust them. And, you know, so that's nice because, you know, I do work and have to, you know, we've got.
Well, you've got a new show, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do have a new show.
That's right. I saw the champagne post.
Yeah.
I have a new show.
By the way, your posts never make me depressed on Instagram.
Oh, good, good. Thank you.
I might just unfollow and unmute everybody.
I go through so many phases of muting people because I feel like I've been that way with Instagram for a while, personally. And I've been on my own journey with social media for a while to just make it fun for me again and not fall into this like rabbit hole of, how come she just had a baby and she's so much skinnier than me, or whatever stupid shit I was saying to myself. I don't do that anymore. And I'm really strict with
it's because she drank kombucha.
Exactly. And she's skinny and pretty. Yes, my new show. I have a new, it's a little fun mini series on the Design Network, but it'll be on an actual television,
that
which
is
I'm
so
really
cool.
excited about. And I'll be flying on a plane. By the time this episode goes up, I will have hopefully already shot it and it will have gone fabulously. But yeah, I'm the main host and I'm a judge and I get to get paid to judge people, which I think is going to be so fun. But I'm really excited to do something different. And, you know, this is what I live for. And
we
just started finalizing the detail. You guys know I'm an actress now, right?
So we started
finalizing the details. So Michael has a bourbon brand, Lucky Seven, and I've been helping him with that as much as I can. So when you peel the label back off of his bourbon, there's a QR code that you can scan that has a little short film that you can watch that was just sort of inspired by the bottle. So he's coming out with a new holiday release, and there's going to be a little film associated with that, and I will be the lead actress in the film.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Amazing. That's very John Legend of him.
Very excited.
Very John Legend of him.
Good. I'll be Chrissy. And anyway, so yeah, things are fun there. There's, you know, work in my world is just such a, it's weird. I work with brands, obviously, is how I make money, or hosting shows or things like that, being entertaining. And so much of that got put on hold. And so much of that, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that fuels my soul and makes me happy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it just was put on pause. So I'm really excited that something is like picking up.
Yeah.
You know, I will be on an airplane, which I'm excited about. And yeah, I'll be away from the kids. I will have had a break, which will, you know, seems both exciting and kind of gives me a little bit of anxiety, which is not really the kind of person
am. You haven't had a break from your kids in months.
Yeah. I mean, coming here, this is my break. This is the longest break to come and do the podcast. But, you know, I'm so attached to them now, like more than I've ever, ever, ever been. So it'll be bittersweet to go and be away
for sure.
But I'm really, really excited for it. It like came at the perfect time. I was starting to feel like I was just like a stupid fucking loser.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
no. You're not. I mean, that's how I was feeling. Like, this
I think
is...
people feeling inept is a very, it's a very common feeling right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
I've heard that a lot from my employees who are working all the time. Like, it's just there's something about working from home. The challenge that we have with our children, it's making us feel like we're not good at our jobs or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm a confident person. And I'm a happy person. I think those are things that are just like that's who I am. But I also work really hard to maintain those two things. But man, this has just taken COVID's just giving my self-esteem just a beating.
Yeah.
Because it's like so many of the things that fueled my soul are gone. You know, but anyway, I do feel like they're coming back in different ways, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's
about
starting
that.
To. I'm it going to work now. Like, I'm going to my office, which has been, well, first I'm like, what? Do you know? Okay, so moms will appreciate this. You know, when kids get born, and I mean, when they are in their crib, and you take them out of their crib and you put them in their toddler bed, like that transition. So I don't know why that was difficult for me to describe, but that moment, they're like around two or something, or three, and, some babies don't realize they can get out of the bed.
Yeah, for a while.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they cry for you to pick you up, and you're like, you have no, there's no prison.
Yeah.
Here. Like, you can just walk out, and it takes them a few weeks or whatever to figure it out.
And then so when they figure it out, you're like, fuck.
Yeah. And then you're like, damn it. But it's like that crib psychology.
Yes.
I almost feel like that's happening with adults
in
COVID, where we're like, wait, can we go for a walk? Okay, wait, we can go for a walk.
Yeah.
And then it's like, can I go on a plane? And when you think about it, know if you wear a mask and you wipe yourself down, like what's the big deal?
I know I feel like I've been that way.
We've all
like,
sort
I
of been like
people eating at restaurants, and I've gone to a few restaurants for sure.
We're going next weekend, girl.
And I'm so excited because that'll be an actual like adult date.
You can join us, Susan, if you want.
I'd love to.
We're getting a taste of life again with like I said, my boys do get to go to a school, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's been huge for Hendrix.
But it's like if you say that online, somebody's going to come for you and be mad at you.
Well, they can't. If it's legal, it's legal. Okay, guys? Right. Like, that's just it. Like,
No, and I'm not, like, afraid of people. Some things I just don't want to deal with. Like,
sometimes, do you ever wonder, so let's call that shaming sort of community or group, like, the mob or something. Isn't it possible that that's a really small percentage?
Yeah,
I think it is.
And that the people who are feeling like you
they just
aren't feeling comfortable to talk about it because we're not talking about it too, you know? So everybody is sort of, so there's this like echo chamber happening in this maybe like 1% or maybe it's even 10%. And they're really the extreme though.
Yeah.
When maybe the rest of the people and the majority of the people are somewhat comfortable and really want to know like, you know, how they get a taste of life again. So in some ways, maybe it's good to start talking about it. Cause like, I don't know. But I also don't, like my Instagram, it's not my life. Like it's not my job, you know?
Right, so, you know,
I posted a picture about Hendrix going to school and nobody said anything.
Good.
Yeah. And I don't really care, you know, but I don't have, I mean, I've got like 4,000 followers or something. So I'm not like you guys. And I think that's a really challenging spot for you. And I don't envy that because I feel like you should just be able to live your life. And if the whole point of Instagram is it's supposed to be
fun.
Authentic.
Yeah.
It's authentic.
Fun. Authentic.
And I think social media is the most inauthentic place right now. Like nobody, even the best intentioned people, feel scared to post anything. And I've got my firsthand experience where people will take something and they will turn it into a whole other story without all the information.
Well, I think tensions are higher than ever though, right? Like people even just out on the street are angry. I mean, yelling, I got yelled at by a weird dude the other day. Shereen got yelled at by an angry mom.
There's tension.
Like there's just, people are just looking to lash out on anybody. And
it helps them deflect. Yeah, a little bit.
I think you're right though. There is so there's the anger. There's anger that's happening, and that's probably tied to us being in a prison for the last 3 months. But I think also there's this. If only one type of person is saying something, and because it's sort of a shaming and judgment dialogue, the others sort of just silence themselves. What ends up happening inherently is a little bit of like an echo chamber where. Yeah. And then these people get their information only from these people. So then it only the echo chamber kind of only deepens.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's actually not reflective of the community at all.
That's true.
Agreed.
So then you've got what happened, you know, and I'm not at all trying to bring politics into this because I know this is not about that. But like I can totally foresee a repeat happening.
Yeah.
Simply because we've got this echo chamber of people being like, duh, idiots over there. We're the cool ones.
Yeah.
We're going to keep talking to each other, talking to each other, talking to each other.
Right.
We get our news from each other. Nobody's bothering to talk to the other side. Nobody's bothering to listen, hear, understand.
Yeah.
And if they don't
or
do
just
that.
Be pragmatic.
Yeah.
Right. Like, let's
if you
just
shut it down. Like I saw somebody's bumper sticker that said any competent adult 2020. And I'm like, well, that's not going to start any conversation, you know, meaning, side, if everyone else is incompetent. Well, if you're on that other side, are you going to speak up if somebody talks to you like that? No, you're not.
Yeah. It's a tough year.
And it's happening on the COVID side with masks and it's happening with like the Black Lives Matter
schools,
thing.
It's like, you know,
there's a lot of silencing happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's weird to see that on Instagram.
Instagram
feels
mobs
like that's
coming
the place
you
where
stuff.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be able to,
to share
stuff.
Yeah. That was the whole point. But now nobody wants to share. And I can tell you for sure that like anybody I know who is like a big social media star, you know, talking to them in private, they're like, I don't share. I share like maybe 5% of what's really happening in my life now.
Huh. That's too bad.
Yeah.
It is too bad.
I hope that shifts, you know, and I think it'll take some courage. Well, at least we're talking about it here.
I know.
Yeah.
And I do think that we will have to come back to life and figure out how to do it
in
a way that's safe.
We have to live in a safe way, and we can't go around yelling at people and publicly shaming them and create an environment of just tension and anger. Nobody wins that way.
Yeah.
The shaming of the people just does not win at all.
I agree.
It's been a challenge figuring out like how to go back to work.
Yeah.
So even in our company, you know, there are differing opinions, much like, you know, the environment. And do you do the thing that 1% of your company wants to do?
Right.
Like, what if 1% is like, I can't believe you want to go back to work.
Right.
This is ridiculous. We're contributing to the problem. I'm like morally disturbed by this.
Right.
1%. They're the loudest too.
Mm-hmm. Of course they are.
Or 99% who are like, I can't wait to come back.
Right.
Yeah.
Which do you do?
Yeah.
Because it's like there's you're almost compelled to do the 1% because they're the loudest and there's this almost moral attack.
Right, right, right. It is 100% a moral attack. Yeah.
Well, I think you give the option, right? Like if you want to, you can. If you don't want to, and P.S. we've got this protocol. If you feel sick, we are, you know, temp checking you at the door, blah, blah, blah. Like all that kind of stuff, right?
There'll be a white van for you at the outside.
You know, like it's. It's kind of crazy that this is where we're at, but it is. And I think, you know, I think I do feel, though, that we are we're starting to get to another phase of it, right? Where we're starting to like understand that we need to work through this. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's the hopeful thing for me.
I do. I agree with you. It's shifting.
Yeah. But Dinah, I am so proud of you. Every time I see you post on Instagram, anytime I have a talk with you, I am just always like, why don't I spend more time with Dinah?
Move to PV.
I know. I know.
Whitley Collins cocktails waiting
for
you.
You have a Whitley Collins. It's delicious.
Oh, I love you both.
I love you guys too. Thank Dinah. Okay, guys, healthaid.com, Booch Prop. We have a code FAM20. You guys can follow Dinah on Instagram, Dinah Trout, and support her brand. It's the best.
It is. It's awesome. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.